Well, I am going to read from the same scripture that Pastor JJ chose for this day. And it's going to be from the Gospel of John. You'll see words up here on the screen. Before I read, let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we hear with joy what you say to us today. So this is from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then skipping on to verses 19 through 28. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the same version that is in your church pews. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "Well, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, I know, here we are in the middle of all the Christmas spirit going on. All the beautiful decorations are out and up and still coming up, the festivities and the celebrations, the parties, the concerts happening. And okay, people may be buying a lot of gifts online still these days, but I can tell you our shopping malls are overrun with shoppers. Stacy and I were just out yesterday afternoon doing some of our own shopping. We were down toward Brody in South Austin at one of those big box stores, and there was a line for checkout that went across, zigzag across the whole front of the store and halfway toward the back of the store just to check out. And then from there, we went over to Barton Creek Mall. And you know those big parking lots? I mean, there's like acres and acres of parking at Barton Creek. And it was all full. It was packed with cars. The place was crawling with people. And then there's the Christmas music, which reminds us everywhere that it's the most wonderful time of the year. Here we are in the church, celebrating this third Sunday of Advent, which is, I mean, it's the pink candle means joy, as we were hearing at children's time. And instead of reindeer and elves and joyful angels and wise men, we're dealing with John the Baptist. He's not exactly a warm and cozy, Christmassy kind of guy. You don't see cute, cuddly John the Baptist figurines out on people's lawns these days. In all of my 72 years, I have yet to see a John the Baptist Christmas tree ornament. John's kind of rough and scary looking. He's living like a homeless person out in the wilderness with a diet of locusts and wild honey. To look at him, you might write him off as a wild man, dangerous, insane. But when he spoke the truth. People knew it. He spoke the truth in ways that few of us dare to speak it. is fire and brimstone. Repent and wash yourself clean. The Lord God is coming straightway among you. Get ready to meet your maker, because it's going to be like a refiner's fire blowing across the land like a raging storm. Get right with God before it's too late. And vast crowds of people came down. You know, had to come down out of Jerusalem toward the Jordan, out there in the wilderness around the Jordan River, where he was preaching and baptizing. Crowds from Jerusalem coming. And the religious establishment back in Jerusalem just didn't quite know what to make of him. They knew he was stirring up trouble. And also he was stirring up some kind of new religious fervor. What's going on? Who was this guy anyway? Did he think he was the Messiah? Was he a new age kind of Elijah? Was he some soothsaying prophet? They sent messengers from all the authorities to ask him. Oh, no, he said. I'm none of those things. But if you know the prophet Isaiah, then you will recognize that I am the voice of the one who cries out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert wilderness a highway for our God. It may feel a little bit rude, but John shows up here in Scripture to tell us that preparing the way of the Lord doesn't look so much like festivals and merrymaking. It looks like repenting and cleansing our lives of sin and injustice. It looks like fairness and compassion. It looks like mission and humble service. It looks like the Lord leveling the mountains, putting down the mighty from their thrones, filling up the valleys, and lifting up those of low degree. What John is telling us is that for some of you, it's going to be a bitter pill. And even for the most faithful of you, you're going to have your challenges and your burdens to bear. And frankly, I think he's right. If we pay attention to the birth of Jesus the way it is described to us right there in Scripture, the arrival of God in the flesh was more than a little troublesome and scandalous for those who were involved. To say the least, the real birth of Christ was highly inconvenient and painful. God did not particularly make their lives easier. You would expect, oh, God's going to show up. Our prayers are answered. It's all going to be great from here on. Happy days are here again. In fact, it put them into greater hardship and peril. Think about Mary, for example. Just, you know, up there in Nazareth minding her own business, and we're told that an angel appears to her, telling her she's going to have a baby. And she's going to be pregnant before she gets married. All right, here she is, this young woman living in this already heavily controlled patriarchal world of hers, where the men are determining how women live their lives and what they do with their bodies and what is considered good and what is considered shameful. And this angel is telling her, you're going to get pregnant and no man is going to be involved. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? And yet she was willing to accept that this is the work of the Lord and trust that somehow it would be right. And then there's Joseph. We read about Joseph more in Matthew's gospel about, she's with child. I was hoping this was going to be the right woman for me. And he doesn't want to embarrass her. Frankly, if he made a case out of it, she could be stoned to death. He didn't want that. He just wanted to take attention away from her. He would dismiss her, it says. He would divorce her, break off the engagement. just quietly, act like nothing happened. We'll just go on with our lives. And then in this dream, in a dream, an angel comes to him and says, Joseph, get with it. This is the work of God. I know it seems like trouble to you, but it's really good news. Trust it. And this child is going to need you. You'll name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And then Luke describes how, oh, thank you, Roman government, for declaring a census and a tax collecting that requires us to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, where it's a long, rude journey for a woman, very great with child. And there they find no place good to stay. And it's in this rude stable. No midwife, we're told. I mean, there's no mention of any help. The baby is born. And then Herod is creating terror. He's gotten the rumor, and they have to flee like refugees to Egypt. A lot of trouble. Now, perhaps in a spiritual way, yes, there was joy. Their lives were richer. But their lives were also painfully disrupted in this world. And what God asked of them required great heroism and perseverance of faith. So, first of all, what Scripture tells us is that the real Christmas can be highly disruptive and troublingly inconvenient in our lives. It doesn't put us on easy street. It sends us in paths of service and being out there and vulnerable with the love of God carried through us. Now, second, the way Jesus shows up among us also tells us something about God. This is pretty inconvenient for God if you think about it. God chose intentionally not to be the all-powerful, overwhelming master here, but to be an infant, humble and reliant on us. In the song that they just sang, born to suffer, born to save. God surrendered God's own birth in the flesh into humble human hands, trusting us to take care of God's own son. Poor people, everyday people, people who would be persecuted refugees in flight from murderous tyrants, surviving merely on hard, honest labor. So God didn't arrive in the way we might expect God to show up, you know, out of the clouds in the heavens, arriving with armies of angels to take power and control over all our lives. There's no Death Star. There's no army of clones. There's nothing like that. God arrived in humble poverty and generous service to invite us into a journey of love. At no point did Jesus just forcibly take command and control over every detail of our lives. Now, there are certain brands of Christians, and I understand, I sympathize with their point of view, but they like to picture that God is totally in control and in command of our lives, like this master puppeteer ordering every detail of our thoughts and actions. But that's not what Scripture describes to us. Scripture reveals a God who loves us so much as to allow us the power and the agency to make our own decisions and to exercise freedom in who we are and how we live and whether or not we love. After all, if we don't have freedom of our own will, what does love mean? If we're not in control in some level, love is meaningless. Scripture shows that the real Christmas, the real birth of Christ, has fleeting moments of glory and rejoicing, the angels, the shepherds, but God shows up not in mighty palaces, but in a smelly, rude cattle stall, arriving through a woman's genuine labor pains and totally dependent on human parents for his care and nurture into this very vulnerable human life. The real Christmas tells us that God chose to come among us in humble poverty, this totally dependent newborn baby. God did not show up as this superior being using the powers of the universe to bend us into submission, but rather, in other words, God showed up to invite us to be partners with God, co-workers in love and service. Didn't show up to turn us into slaves and automatons. It's something he's inviting us to a two-way relationship. I mean, after all, that's why Jesus says prayer is so important. God wants to hear from us. What we care about matters to God. And the real Christmas reveals that the greatness of God's goodness and love is entering into our very arms, into our care, in total contrast with the evil of those who have great lust for power and control over our world. And in the long run, then, third, the disciples of Jesus would discover that following his example of humble love and service was also no guarantee of a life of comfort and ease. This new life of following Jesus runs right against the grain of the world. We encounter almost constant resistance as we follow his way. Our lives with Jesus often take us on paths into the wilderness of sorrow and grief, places where the powers of greed and human cruelty work brutally, brutally against the love and the will of God. So Jesus is saying, expect challenges. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And he said, you're looking for a blessing from God? You want to feel blessed from God? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice then. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Okay, so at first glance, John the Baptist doesn't look so much like our way of getting ready for Christmas, but when we pause to pay attention to the real birth of Jesus, when we pay attention to the real spiritual and social wilderness places in our world and in our lives today. And what do I mean by spiritual and social wilderness places? Well, think about personal places of suffering and grief right now, places of deep disappointment and hurt and concern and fear and anxiety. Think about Israel and Gaza, Russia and Ukraine. Think about homeless people on the streets of Austin. And when we think about that kind of wilderness, John stands in the middle of those wilderness places and invites us to be so bold as to prepare the way of the Lord, even there and even now. Let us pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, oh, come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.